Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an Asian, see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't going to be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Black won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 or 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folks got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor, then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March, boy, who cares? Marching has never changed anything.
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. He messed around. He saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I want to know what's in the door. He said, you sure you want to see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now, the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you're having is When God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way because your package is going to keep going right on by because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go over on Pity Way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it's on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will come.
Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week. 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But, man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, "Shoot it!" So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Styles, the kid no one would pick, was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
Well, hey, folks, and welcome to Solar Cabin Channel. I've got a neat little project for you I call the Multi-Shack. This is one of my homeless housing solutions designs. And some of you probably don't know this, but I was homeless twice in my life. The first time was when I was trying to get into college, and I had lost my job and was waiting for my college funding to come in, and so I had to live in my truck. I lived in the cab of my truck for almost 2 months while I waited for my college funding to come in. And then again later in life when I got divorced and didn't have a job and was trying to get off grid, I lived for almost 2 years in a camp trailer. And, you know, there's a lot of people that, homeless people that have their pride. They want to maintain their independence. They don't want to live on welfare. They don't want to be caught up in the system. And, you know, all they need is a simple shelter, you know, someplace to get out of the cold, to get out of the wind, to get out of the rain, while they get back on their feet. And so I know there's a lot of organizations out there that are helping the homeless, churches, nonprofits, and things like that. So I came up with this small structure design, which I call the multi-shack, because it has actually multi-uses to it, and it can be built very affordably. You can build this entire shack for under $200, and it is built on wheels. It can be put on either a 4x6 trailer, or you can build it on casters. Casters are a lot less expensive, but it still allows you to move this unit around, so you could store, you know, a bunch of these on a church parking lot, and then just when you need them, you can move them out to wherever you want the person to be using them. Casters are 4-inch casters. Each caster will hold up to 240 pounds, so they'll more than handle the weight for this structure here. Now, this structure is 6'5" from the peak to the bottom, 6'5", so and even a tall person can stand upright inside this structure. The door is 1'6" wide and about 5'3" to the peak up there in the door. And the structure is 4 foot wide approximately and about 6 foot long. About 6 foot long by 4 foot wide, 6'5" to the peak. And this is constructed very inexpensively from 2x4 framing, which I'll show you. And uses, I would use 7/16" OSB or plywood. Either one would work for the siding on this. Now, a couple of the features here. I show this with dorm windows. The dorm windows are actually optional. You don't have to put dorm windows. You can just go with a flat roof surface if you want here. I show this with wood shingles, or you could use just plain old tar paper and roofing shingles. Any type of roofing shingles would work on this. Show it with a little flower box there just for effect. And on the backs and the front, I show this with these round windows, like boat-style windows, or you could put square windows. Either one works. I just like the effect of the round windows, the look of those in there. This does have an access panel on the back. Down here is an access panel. We'll just open this up so I can show you. Open up, take this one off. There we go. Now you can see inside the access panel, underneath the seat and bed, is storage, lots of storage underneath here for a propane tank, one of those Port-a-Loo porta-potties, an ice chest over there you can see, okay? So there's good storage. This is about 18 inches high inside here and about 4 feet wide inside. So the structure, I'll show this with the door open. Let me just hide this door here. With the door open, you can see I've got this set up. Right now I've got it set up for seating. During the day, this would be used for seating purposes, okay? And I'm going to pull the side roof off here so I can show you inside. But this has a very nice space for a person that maybe is going to school or working, or just the table can be used for eating or whatever. So you've got approximately 6 feet of space on the inside here by 4 feet wide. And this table is actually part of the bed platform, which I'll show you. You just pull the 2x4 out, put it in one of these slots. It's in this 2x4 here. There's another one on the other side. You just drop the 2x4 into the slot, and then you take your bed panel and put it up on top of that, and then that becomes a table. Here you've got 2 foot by 4 foot cushions. There's three of these cushions that become your bed, or you can use a roll-up mattress pad underneath this that becomes your bed. But during the daytime, it becomes seating. It becomes a little mini couch in here, 4 foot wide, and now you've got a space for a student to do their studies, their work, or for having your meal, or if you're working on a hobby or a craft or something like that, you've got this nice little space. When you get out the door, you just lift the table up, put it back, put the 2x4 back in the bottom slots, put the table down, and then you turn it into a bed. And I'm going to show you what it looks like as a bed, too. So, good headroom in this. I really like that it's got a very good space. This is an average person, 5'8" tall. You can see you've got lots of headroom here. You've got these nice dormer windows, which would give you lots of light. Lots of light, and also gives you a little bit more headroom up in this area right in here. A 6 foot person could stand up in the middle of this quite comfortably. Two people could actually share, sit side by side on this couch, or you can pull your ice chest cooler out, or someone could put a foldable chair on the other side here. So you could actually have two people sitting side by side or crossways next to each other here. So lots of space in this little place. So let me show you what the framing looks like on this first. And I'll just have to zoom in on this. Now this is all done with 2x4 construction to keep it inexpensive and easy to build. And then I would sheathe it with either 7/16 inch OSB or plywood. Either one would work. Now it's got a floor frame, as you can see, made of 2x4s down here. Simple 2x4 frame, floor frame construction, and then your casters attach to the corners, not exactly in the corners, but they attach to the floor framing, and the casters have locks on them, so once you move this in place, you can just click on the locks and lock it in place so it won't be rolled around while the person is inside it. Now, this is the bed platform, and it has, this back platform is This back platform is 2'6" wide, and it is permanently connected. These are 1'9" wide platforms that can be raised up. And as you can see, these 2x4s right here, you put the 2x4 up in these other slots, and then you put these panels up on top, and they become either a table or a workspace. This one can go up here. This one can go on the end. It can go over the middle. So I gave you lots of options for the ways that you can organize this into workspace or living space as you need to use it. Very simple construction. Takes about 20 2x4s to build this. That's about it. And you're looking at about under $200 for all the material costs. And you could build one of these in a day. Seriously, you could build the complete unit in about a day. And now I'm going to show you on the inside how this can be used as a bed and also as a small business. So I'm just going to click off this. Okay, now I show this with the bed down. The door opens so you can kind of get a peek inside here. Now, this is an uninsulated structure. You really don't need insulation in a small structure like this because the human body puts off about as much heat as a 90-watt light bulb. So in a small structure like this, your own body heat will actually heat it up. And for sleeping, you can either do these pads like this as mattress pads, or you can just get a sleeping bag pad or even an air cushion pad to go underneath it. A sleeping bag pad would work fine because you can roll it up as you and use it as your seating. And a good heavy-duty sleeping bag would be all you would need in order to sleep very comfortably in here. As long as you don't have the wind blowing on you or the rain drenching you or snow piling up on you, you'll sleep very comfortably in a small structure like this. Your own body heat will heat it up. You could add a heater to these, but it really isn't necessary in these small structures. So I'm going to pull off the side roof, and I'm going to show you how much space this has inside it for a bed. It actually has a very nice bed that will sleep either one or two people. Pull this off here. Just hide this. Now, this has a 4 foot wide by 6 foot long bed. So even an average person can sleep in here. Even a tall person, fairly tall person, could sleep in here comfortably without being cramped. And it's 4 foot wide, so that's a very wide bed that will actually sleep two people. Two people could sleep in this space, all right? And it's 6 foot wide, and it's 4 foot wide and 6 foot long. This person I show in here is about 5 foot 8 inches tall, which is average height for most people. And here you can see the slots I was talking about. These platforms, which I'll show you, I'll take the bed off now. These two platforms are removable with 2x4s underneath them. You just take the 2x4, you put it in the slots that go across here, and then put these platforms up on top to make your table. And you can actually do a table on either end or one in the middle for a desk and table. Now, the ones on the ends I'll show you are used if you want to run a small business out of here, or if you want to organize this in a different way so that if you're cooking, you could put one of these tables on this end or on this end, and you could set up your cooking supplies, and you can take care of yourself. You can cook a meal inside this little place right here. So 4 foot wide, 6 foot long bed, and then very adaptable with these platforms of 2x4s. You can just put them up, and you can reorganize this any way you want during the daytime for whatever function that you're going to be using. Again, it has storage space underneath the bed and seating. You've got that nice access panel for you. You've got storage underneath there. And I really like the space in here. This would be enough adequate space if in an emergency, let's say that a city has a disaster, a fire like they just had in Canada wipes out all these homes, or you have a tornado tear through a place, or you have flooding or something like that, which we've all seen in the news, happens all the time, and suddenly churches are overrun with people that don't have housing. You know, if you had a bunch of these sitting around that would sleep at least two people, you could pull these out in a small area, you could set these up, and people would at least have shelter for, you know, survival until they can get into houses or bigger shelters or something like that. So that's another use for this type of structure here. So now I'm going to put the bed back on just to show you. And again, you can see this has really nice dormer windows. So you got really good light in this. And it's got an excellent sleeping space. It would be better for one person, but it would be adequate for two people. Okay? And, if you got little teeny kids with you, you could put, one adult and a couple of kids in there, too. You know, there's enough space in there to sleep comfortably, and you've got lots and lots of headroom. You're not going to bump your head or anything while you're sleeping. Doorway, 1 foot 6 inches wide, 5 foot 3 inches to the top up here. So lots and lots of good space in this. Now I'm going to show you how this can also be modified to be used as a small business. Okay, one thing I know about people that are homeless is they're also very creative, and a lot of them actually run little businesses in order to support themselves. A lot of them do recycling. They recycle cans and bottles and other stuff like that, or they pick up small appliances and stuff that they may find on the streets, or books or pictures or whatever, and they resell them, and that's how they support themselves. A lot of them are also very crafty people. They may make jewelry, or they may make wood crafts or something like that, or they may be artists. And so they have a way to support themselves, and so I think we ought to encourage that because that helps them to develop sustainability. Not everybody is equipped to work in the regular workforce. Some people just aren't, but they're very industrious and can support themselves with a small business. And so I thought, well, this shack could also be used for setting up a small business. So what I did is I made this so that the window here can be hinged up, and I'll show this. The window on the one of the dormers, or both, can be hinged up out of the way. And then you've got room here to put a sales counter or little platform here where a person, this person is 5 foot 8 inches tall, a person can stand in this window and they can operate a small business. They can talk to customers, they can take money, whatever, working right out of this small shack. Now this doesn't necessarily have to be for homeless people. If you wanted to run a hot dog or hamburger stand or sell your crafts or your books or, you know, whatever you want to do with this, maybe it's a ticket stand, I don't know. This little shack could be very useful for a lot of different purposes. That's why I call it a multi-shack, is because it can be used for many different purposes. But this would be great for a homeless person that has a craft that they make or recycle products or whatever. They want to sell them. They just hinge up the window, and they set themselves up a little business here to take care of customers. Now, this also shows inside how those tables can be reorganized. Here you can see I've lifted up the bed platform to put a table on this end, another table on this end, and you can use this for cooking in here. You can see I've got a little two-burner propane stove that you can set up on one of the tables up there so you can do your cooking. You can work on your crafts. This table just lifts off, a 2x4 lifts off if you need to get access to the door. Lots of good headroom, okay? Workspace in there. This can be modified many different ways for many different people of however you want to use it. So a very functional space in there. All right, so that is the multi-shack, all right? And let me just unhide this so you can get a better view of it. Again, can be built very inexpensively, around under $200 on casters, more expensive if you put it on a trailer. And I'm going to provide these plans for free, because this is a project that I designed specifically for churches and nonprofit organizations to build shelters. And at present in the U.S., we have about 1.6 million homeless people that just need a simple shelter to live in. Or we have, that's about one out of 200 people. And that's just in the U.S. There's a lot of people in other countries that are in even worse shape. And I really think a project like this would be great for helping the homeless people to have shelter while maintaining their independence and their pride. But it could also be used as disaster relief shelters. You know, we could easily have a major disaster in a city where we have thousands and thousands of people that suddenly are homeless and we need to provide quick shelter. These would also work for that. It would be big enough space for two people to sleep and, you know, to take care of their basic needs. And that's what this structure is about. So I hope you like this design. It's called the Multi-Shack. You can get the plans for free on my website, simplesolarhomesteading.com. Up at the top, look at Multi-Shack. Now, there is a button there if you would like to donate. Your donations are used by me to design structures like this and build small houses. I work with a lot of homeless people that don't want to be in the system, that want to build their own off-grid cabins and houses and places like that. I help them with designs and building those projects. So any donation, if you can donate, is very appreciated and will help with those projects. All right, folks, I hope you like this project called the Multi-Shack, and have a great day.
People who live in towns and cities in Uganda and many other African countries have some access to grid electricity to light their homes and power their businesses. But many rural people aren't connected at all. But simply waiting for the grid to arrive isn't good enough for entrepreneurs like Moses Akera. He recognizes there's a good business to be made harnessing the power of the sun.
I really prefer solar to be used in the community like this because it remains the property of the client. You don't pay bills and you don't buy fuel like somebody using generator.
So solar energy is the best option for many rural Ugandans. But being new to the industry, many solar retailers like Moses were struggling to make their businesses a success.
We don't have capacity to advertise ourselves our products. We don't have capacity to have quality technical training.
So the Rural Energy Foundation, a not-for-profit organization, introduced the Solar Now program in 2007. Its aim, to spread the benefits of electricity throughout rural Africa by providing training and support to existing solar retailers like Moses. And they encourage other retailers and entrepreneurs to start selling solar equipment from scratch.
Most of these retailers need to be supported in terms of training so that they can be able to run their businesses better. They also need support in terms of market awareness because so many people out here in the field do not know about solar, so we need to come and enlighten them.
As well as training, the Rural Energy Foundation loans retailers portable demonstration kits, which they use to drum up business in local markets.
What we're trying to do is these people are off-grid and they do not have access to electricity. So we're trying to show them how solar can improve their lives. For instance, we try to show them how they can make money from solar. For instance, here with us we have a shaver, so they can use this to have barbershops. We also show them how they can use it to use light at their homes. See, when you have this light in your house, the children can study at night. They can use it in their shops to work longer hours, and they can use it at home.
If retailers want to use the Solar Now brand, they have to commit to providing high-quality installations and good after-sales service. The Rural Energy Foundation helps them achieve this by training solar technicians.
We're trying to get the entrepreneurs to sign service contracts, so when they sell the product, it also comes with after-sales service. Let's say they have to check to make a phone call to the customer after a certain period to check if the system is working, and then till after some time through the service contract, they also have to go and actually do the inspection of the system.
The Rural Energy Foundation has trained over 200 retailers in 9 African countries. So far, they've sold 57,000 solar home systems and 36,000 solar lanterns. They've helped at least 400,000 people, saved nearly 5 million litres of kerosene and 12,000 tonnes of CO2 each year. Basil Okelo is impressed and has decided to buy the equipment from Moses to set up his own solar barbershop and phone charging business. He's taking advantage of a credit scheme which helps entrepreneurs buy equipment from Solar Now retailers to get their businesses going.
Solar Now is giving me a loan. I'm going to make a down payment of 25% now. Later, in 3 months' time, I'll make another 25%, making a total of 50%. Then the remaining I'll complete within a period of a year.
With his system now installed, Basil is optimistic about the future.
Because this is a new investment I'm going into. I have never been into this business before. But as I see, I have the expectation that I'll make money.
Moses is growing his solar retail business too. He already had a shop in town. With support from the Rural Energy Foundation, he's now set up a small village branch to cater specifically for his rural customers.
Rural Energy Foundation is very important to us. If they help us training technician, we shall be in position to expand all over.
We hope that others will also adopt the private sector development approach. We don't want to be unique. We want to spread the word that this is a really efficient approach to get the technology diffused deeply into the rural markets.
The Rural Energy Foundation plans to expand into other African countries and broaden its range of sustainable technologies. Solar panels are now becoming a common sight here on homes, and shops buy them as well to run radios and offer phone charging, increasing their income and enabling people to communicate. And to everyone's delight, the local bar has installed a fridge powered by the sun. The owner is pleased with his investment.
Yeah, we're happy. Because it's cold, the beer tastes better. And so I get more customers.
Started to speak with the mic. I had myself muted. Okay, tomorrow, matter of fact, not only tomorrow, but starting tomorrow, well, actually starting today because I'm announcing it today. For the rest of this month, on our regular weekday, you know, we do Monday through Friday podcasts. I don't know if we're going to do anything on weekends, but for our regular Monday through Friday podcast, more in detail tomorrow, but I'm announcing it today right now, is we're going to do a series, a long one. And it's the running title I have, which is today's podcast, is YouTube and OnlyFans, the new university. Once again, is YouTube and OnlyFans, the new university. I might switch that title up. I don't know. But for right now, that's what it is. And so, and what I'm getting at is, and I want to get feedback from the audience, is it, on YouTube, and I call, and I'm not the only one, I call YouTube University. Because if there's something that I don't know, can't figure out, I typically go to YouTube, and a lot of people do the same globally, and they call it YouTube University also. You can get it in real time, a lot of answers, in real time, demonstrated in real time. And if you have any further questions via social media, I mean through a person's Instagram, email account, whatever they have means of reaching them, even in the comment section on YouTube, you can network with the person who made that video and get more detailed information in real time. If there's anything you got to pay, just make sure your cable, but make sure your internet is paid for every month. But other than that, that's about the tuition. You don't have to go through any committees or any things like that. And you do have, like, for instance, you have travel vloggers, YouTubers, that some of these people are not even 25 years of age, or many are not even 20 years of age, but they've been to 100 countries. Or some of them have been to, the United Nations recognizes anywhere between 193 to 195 countries. That's according to the United Nations. Probably de facto countries is probably about 200. So you've got people 20 years old, some younger, but or under 25, that has been to every country that the United Nations has listed, and some have visited all your de facto countries, which we get, that gets up to maybe 200 or so countries. How did they do it? Well, some of the common denominators that I've looked at is, number one, typically these people have not attended college or university, so they don't have the debt, and they get educated by traveling, living in different cultures, and just learning how to just live, travel hacks or living hacks, as you might call them. But no college debt. They typically do not own an automobile, so they don't have a car note. They don't have that debt, which could be $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 or more. And I already stated that they don't have the college loan debt. That can be over $20,000. And then they don't have a 20 or 30, they don't have a mortgage, which even adds more debt. So with that kind of debt, and they're not tied into a 9-to-5, and they've educated themselves on how to do videos or teach a language or teach something, or they have a portable profession, these people are, they're able to earn $15,000, $20,000, $30,000, $35,000 or more a month. Okay, so what we're going to do this month is starting tomorrow, and every day until we get to the new year, is we're going to take a look at, you know, how is this, we're going to look at, I mean, some people on here are earning $100,000 a month with a home-based business. So we're going to take a look at different home-based businesses. We'll have new audio for you every day. Hopefully we'll get some in-live studio interviews as well on how these people are making more in a month without ever attending college. What did they do to learn these new skills? And then there's let me look at my phone. I just ran across this statistic yesterday. Let's see. Let me look it up here. Okay, here we go. One of them. All right, 85% of the jobs that will exist in the year of 2030. Now, mind you, we're in December the 4th, 2023 right now. 85% of the jobs that will exist in 2030 have not even been invented yet. So we're going to take a look at, I mean, you got people that are becoming wealthy through OnlyFans. Now, let me put this out there. Everybody that goes on YouTube and everybody who's on OnlyFans or Twitter or whatever social media platform they might be on and earning an income, a consistent daily or weekly or monthly income, but they're not making outrageous sums of money. But there are many who do. Okay, I'm going to see if I can find some kind of statistics on that. But we're going to take a look at least one YouTuber, OnlyFans, Twitter, people that are out there that are using social media. And it, like, for instance, I just ran across a video a couple of days ago. This guy builds tiny houses. He had over 100 orders in an hour. Now, the selling price of the tiny homes was like $25,000. So, you know, multiply that times 100. That's $2.5 million in an hour. Now, let's put a little bit more to this. Now, they were only taking deposits. So, and that, just because they put a deposit doesn't mean they're going to close on the deal. So 100 times 500, that's $50,000 in 1 hour. Now, granted, some of those people will probably not. But you know what? Even if 99 out of those 100 orders decide, you know what, I'm not going to go with this. Okay, and he just gets one order. Just one order. Offers his tiny house, that's $25,000. That's a half million in a month. So like I say, tomorrow what we're going to be doing, each and every day, we're going to take a look at YouTubers, at least one YouTuber, if not more, but at least one new YouTuber, and we're going to look at what they did, what kind of business did they start, what kind of business do they have where they're earning more in a month than what most people who graduate from college earn in a year, or in some cases, years. So That's starting tomorrow, December 5th, 2023. And we're going to do that every business day until we reach 2024. All right? And the name of this series right now, until I come up, or you guys come up with something better, is YouTube and OnlyFans the new university? Is it the new university? Because a lot of people are learning things and earning. I mean, eBay, Craigslist, Kijiji out of Canada, and there are countless stories of how people of, you know, just by watching videos, learning how to write ebooks, they're making, I mean, six, and some people are earning seven-figure salaries, some per month, some per year. So we're going to take a look at least one each and every day starting tomorrow.
Hi, folks. In this video, I'd like to talk about how to have a home with no house payments and no monthly utility bills. You may think that's not possible, but I do it, and lots of other people do it as well. I'm going to show you how it can be done, how it can be done very inexpensively, and just kind of give you some ideas for things that you can do that society and the economic powers that be don't want you to know. So stay with me for a second, and let me walk you through this. First, you need some land. This is my piece of land, which is under an acre, about 3/4 of an acre. And that's really all you need to take care of most of the needs you have and for running a small homestead. Now, I was lucky enough to get this piece of property from family. It was willed to me when my father passed away. But I have also purchased small pieces of property like this for under $400. I have an acre down in Arizona, near Sholo, Arizona, that I purchased for under $400. I have 5 acres near El Paso, Texas, that I purchased for under $700. So it's very easy to find a piece of land if you do some looking around. eBay is a good source for finding land. Tax sales are a good source for finding land. Family members may want to sell off a piece of land. Go around looking in rural areas, and maybe you'll find a farmer that wants to split off a small piece of land and would gladly sell you one. You don't have to spend a lot of money on land, okay? This is land that doesn't have utilities run to it. It doesn't have a blacktop road that runs into it or driveway. It's rough land. That's what you start with usually if you want to buy a small piece of land that you're going to homestead on. After you have your piece of land, then you're going to have a house. You can have a big house like most people live in, and you can pay a lot of money for it and have a mortgage and be a slave to the system for another 30 years, or you can decide if you'd like to build a smaller house like mine. Paid for with cash. This is my solar cabin. The cabin cost me $2,000 to build. That does not include the doors and windows, which I salvaged off of a trailer that was being torn down. For the cabin, it cost me $2,000. It is 14 by 14. Downstairs is living area, dining area, bathroom, kitchen. Upstairs, I have a loft, bedroom, and an office. In my other videos, I take you on a complete walkthrough of this cabin, so watch those if you want to see how the cabin is as large as it is and functional on the inside. Up there on my roof, you see my solar panels. That's a 350-watt solar system that provides all of my electricity needs for lights, TVs, water pumps, all miscellaneous gadget, laptop, TV, run my vacuum, and everything else off of a 350-watt system. That 350-watt system cost me under $3,000. $2,000 for the cabin, $3,000 for the power system of solar electricity, and I use propane. I have a propane tank in the back of the cabin, and I have a propane furnace, fridge, stove, and on-demand water heater, and those cost me just about $200 for an entire year. And we have cold winters here, folks. Under $200 for an entire year for all of my propane. That is the only utility bill I have. I do not pay for electricity. I do not pay for water because I drilled my own water well. Before I drilled my own water well, though, I hauled water in. But drilling a water well on a piece of property is not that hard. You can either do it yourself or hire somebody to do it. So I have no monthly utility bills. I have a house that's completely paid for. And I have freedom. A freedom that you can't get when you're under the pressure of a mortgage and utility bills. I want you to take just a minute and think about what you could do with your life if you had no house payments and no utility bills. And I'm telling you, it is completely possible. I'm not going to go into any details of how to get out of the house that you're in. You're going to have to figure that out and talk to some professionals for some help that way. All I'm here to do is tell you it's completely possible. Now, some of you are looking at the cabin and saying, yeah, but I couldn't possibly live in anything that small. This cabin was designed specifically for additions to be built on any of three sides. As you can see, the cabin has no windows on any of the three sides. There is a window in the back door glass. The sides are 14 by 14. The cabin was built to have shed additions built on all three sides. This cabin is 400 square feet approximately inside with 200 square foot footprint. When you add on additions, you could add on an additional 400 square feet on either side and off the back, giving you anywhere from 800 to 1,200 square feet. The great thing about building a small cabin to start out with, though, is it gives you a place to live when you build on your additions. And that way you can wait and live very cheaply without any house payments or utility bills. And then when you have the money, you can build on the additions to expand the cabin. That's very good for a single person or a young couple who don't have children because you don't need a whole lot of space to start off with. This way you can save for it, build on as you want to, have the additions, have the extra room if that's what you want. Now, I live full-time in this cabin. I live by myself, but my girlfriend comes up here on the weekends, and we stay together, and let me tell you, it's perfectly comfortable. We don't feel cramped at all, and we'd much rather have a small place like this. It takes a lot less money to heat. It takes a lot less money to cool. It's a lot easier to clean. It's just a fantastic home. Now, I'm not trying to push you into building a home exactly like mine. I'm just trying to provide you with some ideas. If you wanted to come up with different ideas, a different plan, that's just fine by me. But if you are interested in learning how to build a home like mine, I do have an ebook available and a printed book available called Simple Solar Homesteading. Go to www.simplesolarhomesteading.com. You can learn how to build a cabin like mine or at least get some great ideas for building your own home. Now I want to repeat, I own my land. I have a house that I built for under $2,000. I have a solar electric system that I have for under $3,000. I use propane, which costs me under $200 a year. I have no house payments. I have no utility bills. If you want a life like this, it is very possible. You can stop listening to the media, and you can stop being put under society's pressures to live in the type of houses that everyone tells you you have to live in. You can live very inexpensively, and you can do this at any age, whether you're older or younger. If you're younger and you start in a place like this, imagine the amount of money that you would have to retire on with no house payments, no utility bills, and freedom. Thank you for joining me, folks. Please watch the rest of my videos for more detailed information on each of the systems and a complete walkthrough of the cabin.
And now, an exclusive first look at the upcoming documentary, 7 a.m.
Because true economic science is a branch of military science. War and money go hand in hand. Most wars are fights so people can make more money, and war is money. That means what? That the European American is not about to prepare black children to compete with his children for control of the economic sector. It's not going to happen. So if black people want this science, we got to teach it, we got to study it, and we're going to have to make some mistakes in perfecting it because we're still babies in the water of global economic commerce. As African people, we are financially illiterate. So we should not be surprised that we're so economically backward because we were never taught how to be economically forward. Our education in America has not provided or prepared us to be able to compete with Europeans economically. The historically black college was designed to do what? Teach you how to work for white people. public schools, charter schools, parochial schools, independent schools. What is the purpose of education in America for black children right now? To teach them how to make a living working for white people. But I don't want the kids coming to my school to be going to class thinking that I'm learning this so I can go and get paid by a white person. They're going to be empowered to start their own business. When they leave that school, they're going to go into business. And why do we need our people to be self-sufficient? Because when you're not self-sufficient, you can't speak your mind. One of the biggest reasons why black people have been so cowardly in the post-civil rights movement, not standing up for ourselves, standing up for our children, standing up against police brutality, we're scared to lose our jobs. We have to work. We got kids. I can't talk about the racism on my job. I might lose it. So the reason why we're not speaking our mind is because we don't have economic freedom. As Mr. Garvey said, Marcus Garvey said, that a solid racial program must be built on a solid economic foundation. Show me your economic condition, and I'll show you your political condition. The political economy of the black community rests on the premise that because they do not make their own money, they are enslaved to Europeans. And as a result of that, they will never be able to do what needs to be done to carve out a future for their children, because the hand that pays is also the hand that rules them.
Okay, today is announcement day, and today's podcast is, what we're announcing, what today's podcast is titled, is YouTube and OnlyFans, the new university. Maybe not with everything. Like if you got to go to a professional school, not all professional schools, but if you got to go to like engineering school, you might have to go to a university. More than likely, you have to go to a university. If you want to become a medical professional, in many cases, you might have to go to a university. It might be an exception for nursing school, but that's still higher education. But many things that people go to school, and you have some of the smaller colleges and universities that are shutting down. So is YouTube and OnlyFans, and that's, those are just two social media platforms. They're just two. Okay. Let me pick something right up. Let's go with professional football, basketball. There is, even hockey, baseball, what have you, soccer. There is not one professional athlete, and I'm talking about United States based, that has that's earning a coach, because you have millionaire coaches now, you have millionaire players, six figure salaries, even the officials, the referees are earning six figures now. Some might even be earning seven. So, but not one person in professional sports, at least American professional sports, has a bachelor's degree in the profession that they're working in. LeBron James, high school graduate, never went to college. According to Forbes, a billionaire now. Still active in the National Basketball Association. He does not have he has no college degree. He never went. But you do have many players, most of your players that are in the NBA or the NFL or professional sport, they are, well, at least basketball and football, they are college. They at least attended college. Maybe not all of them graduated, but many of them did graduate. But not one of them that did graduate has a Bachelor of Science in basketball, football, baseball, or track. Now, they might have a degree in physical education, but that's about as close as it gets. But there's no one, no coach, no player, no official referee that had a bachelor's degree, like particularly if they went to high school and they didn't play any sports at all. And then they go to college and they're looking on the course menu there. Let's see, I want to be a basketball major, minoring in being a point guard or center. Those degrees don't exist. They might exist 10 years from now, okay, but they don't exist now, okay? So that's just one small example, and that's a small industry. I mean, I don't know how many people. There's only maybe about 340 players that are employed, but there's more. I mean, you know, what they don't talk about, the people that make money, people that own the stadium. I mean, there's only, matter of fact, let's look at that right now. NBA, number of NBA teams. Let's look at that. Let's go a little bit deeper on this. Number of NBA teams. Let's see. There are 30 teams in the National Basketball Association. 30 teams. There is no Bachelor of Science. There's no master's program. There's no PhD, no doctoral program on how to become a owner of a sports franchise. Now, these 30 team owners, they didn't come into the earth, they didn't come out of their mother's womb knowing this. They had to learn it somewhere. There's no such thing as NBA school, National Basketball Association school, or the National Football League school. There are no schools like, but there's somebody teaching it. Somebody taught these 30 people how to become an owner of a sports franchise. It's not taught at Harvard. It's not taught at Yale. Not taught at any Ivy League school. They're learning this information in education somewhere. So, like I say, tomorrow, we announced it today, but tomorrow we're going to get to the nitty gritty. We're going to focus in on YouTube, social media, but people like you and me, people that have found their niche on eBay. Matter of fact, it's three things we're doing between now and the end of this year, 2023. We're doing a daily beta build. Now that's us, where we're building our little tiny houses, dog houses, sheds, all that. Our goal is to develop a new habit with hopefully some of you where we're building. If we can't build a whole building in a day, then we're going to build a floor, a door, something. So that's one of the new habits we're picking up every day. So we're doing that every day. We're announcing that and doing something every day. Number two, we're doing a daily feature, YouTube and OnlyFans versus college. Okay. YouTube, where we're going to pick at least one business, one entrepreneur that has taken YouTube, OnlyFans, Twitter, Craigslist, something, eBay, and they're earning a living from it. They haven't taken any college courses. And the third thing we're going to do every day is we're going to also feature one person who is earning six figures a month via social media, and they never attended college. What is it? They didn't attend college to learn and earn to learn and earn money the way they're doing currently right now. They might have attended college, they might have graduated from college, but what they're earning, their six-figure a month income on right now, they did not learn it in any community college or four-year institution. They don't have a degree in it at all. So those are three things we'll be going starting tomorrow. Six figures per month, we're going to look at it at least. So that will put us at, let's see, 10 to 20, because we did today's the 4th. So you're going to get in, you'll have at least by the end of this month, we're going to feature no less than 15, let's see, 10, no, no, 5, 10, yeah, you're going to get in at least 15 people that you can reach out to. 15 people that earn six figures or more a month without a college degree, and along with other people that might not earn as much as six figures per month. But you know what? I'm going to add one more thing on this. Four things we're going to feature every day. Let's see. Travel hacks. I'll say hackers. These are people that have, they've traveled to, all right, there's 100, people who travel to about 100 countries. There's 100 and, according to the UN, there's 193 to 195 countries, and not including the de facto countries, but people who have traveled to 100 countries. So those are four things we're going to feature every day. Travel, as a matter of fact, let me make this more clear. Travel hackers equal 100 countries. All right, so we're looking, we want to feature at least one person today that's gone to travel to 100 countries. One person a day that does six figures a month, and they're doing it, and they have not attended not one college course on that. And we're getting this right off of, really just right off the line. Then another daily feature on a person who's earning a living with social media, and that section is called YouTube versus college. And then, of course, our daily habit of building something, no matter how simple it might be, once a day. So those are four features that we shall be featuring every day starting tomorrow. So it'll be new content, new audio, and then hopefully we'll get a live guest in so you can ask them questions on how they did what they, how they do what they do. Okay. So that's all starting tomorrow. Today's this announcement day.
Because I used to observe that a lot of those shacks used to be by the track where black people were.
With the room in the back.
Yes, with the room in the back. That was a safety net.
Yeah.
Where black people who would move here and there and go from here and there and looking for jobs, that's usually why we move, and the jobs would play out like they always did.
And do.
But we had a place to go when the sun went down. But now Those shacks by the track don't exist anymore. They came and built highways right alongside of those railroad tracks where those shacks used to be. Super highways. So now, if you get on a highway, you might notice that sometimes you are right alongside of a railroad track. You see trains passing
that
as you are driving.
That is true.
Down a super highway.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, those highways used not to be there in the northwestern hemisphere. It used to be shacks along there. A lot of those shacks were on what we call railroad property. But the railroad people, the people that ran the railroads, didn't care much because nobody wanted to be down. That wasn't prime real estate.
No.
Nobody wanted to be by the tracks anyway. So black people used to build those shacks around there back when black people knew how to build shacks. Black people don't know how to build anything now because they used to build places for white people, but they cut them off with things called unions, took them out, took the carpentry all out of the schools and all like that. So how many black people do you know that know how to fix anything now? It used to be thousands and millions of black people that know how to build a house from scratch out of old pieces of lumber.
Wow.
A lot of people don't remember that. Most people are not that old to have seen it done. I'm old enough to remember when many black people used to get together on a Saturday afternoon. That was the only time they had off, or sometimes, or on a Sunday sometimes after church. They would get together, six or eight of them, and go down and build what they call a shotgun house. It wasn't much, but it was a roof over your head, a good solid roof. I've been in some of those houses, raised up in some, all right? They were excellent, solid houses. They could stand a lot of storm and rain. They weren't much, just maybe three rooms. But I've been in some of them, and there were many, 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 many of them. But along came the white supremacists and say, these Negroes know how to build stuff. We're going to fix that so the next generation won't know how to do anything, stand in front of a place that is built and big, because they won't know anything about carpentry or masonry or how to make anything with their hands.
All right, we added something on to what we'll be doing as of tomorrow. For every, we're doing a series that'll take out the rest of this month, going into the new year. And the title, the working title we have right now is YouTube and OnlyFans, the new university, this is the new college. So what we already announced is we're going to announce, you know, our daily habit of building something every day, even if it's something simple, like a door, a wall, a floor, something like that. Two, we're going to, you know, do a daily feature on somebody off of social media, probably a YouTuber, and that section, that topic, that part of the program will be titled YouTube versus College. The third thing we'll feature every day from here and the rest of the year will be we'll feature at least one person who earns six figures a month, but they never attended not a day of, you know, well, they're not earning money from anything that they've learned in college. Four, travel hackers. We'll be looking to feature people that have traveled to at least 100 countries. So we'll look at what, you know, what are their common denominators. I already tell you, from what I've done in my research so far, is most people who've done that much traveling, or they didn't attend college, they don't have college loans, they don't have a car note, and they don't have a mortgage note. So travel hackers, the goal is to find at least, if we can't find a person who's done 100 countries, we're going to get as close to that number as we can. And then, you know, how they earn money and all that type of stuff. And the last one that I just added on are low rents. Low rents, I've been in housing for like since 1983. So, but last week, and I guess the light went off. Now, I've got an acquaintance that she lives in Uganda. And she pays $75 a month rent. And that, you know, she's got a job. And, you know, I really never did the math on that. But $75 a month rent, she pays $900 a month. Excuse me, $900 a year in rent. Okay. Well, it gets better than that because there's several places around the globe where people pay less than that. So tomorrow we're going to do also include in this the fifth element of each show for the rest of this year is – what the section we call low rents. So this is, look, there's some people out here that are paying $200 for rent for the whole year. Mind you, they're not living in Beverly Hills, but still. You will be surprised at some of these places. So we're going to do a feature on low rent where people are paying maybe no more than $1,000 for rent for the whole year. Some are paying $900, $800, $500 for rent for the whole year. Okay. The let's see, the highest might be hovering around $2,000 a month. I mean, excuse me, not a month. $2,000 for the rent for the entire year. The entire year, okay. I mean, so $2,000 divided by 12, that's like $166 a month rent. So we're not going above $2,000 for the whole year, and it'll just get lower. So, you know, you'll be amazed at what some of people, some of you people,
Hey, you might be asking, you hear some of these rents that we're going to be throwing out, what people are paying for the entire year. You might decide, you know what, let me call my travel agent and book a ticket and go to some of these places. So those are the five things: low rents, travel hackers, people who, you know, that have traveled to, I'm going to say 50 to 100 countries at least. Okay. Because there's hordes of them that do that. Matter of fact, we're going to take this little musical break, and we're going to see what we come up with just on the 100 count.
Now, the 911 tape of George Zimmerman's call as he was pursuing Trayvon Martin through the gated community he was patrolling. We should warn you right now, you're going to hear some strong language. You might want to send your kids out of the room. The two words you'll hear are an expletive and, some believe, a racial slur. When the question first came up, 360's Gary Tuchman worked with one of our top audio experts to enhance the tape.
Rick, can we play just that second word, what we think the second word is, and hear if that sounds any different? Okay. I mean, it certainly sounds like that word to me, although you just can't be sure.
But be sure.
That sounds even more like the word than using it when it was with the F word before there.
That's correct.
All right, it seemed pretty clear then. But since then, we've been able to use an even higher tech method to isolate what was said that night. Here again, Gary Tuchman.
This is Brian Stone. He's one of our senior audio engineers,
correct,
an expert in this field. And you have enhanced the tape, and we're going to listen to this. I have not listened to this tape either. 2 weeks ago when we did this, I didn't listen to it because I wanted to listen to it for the first time on this equipment. The second version that's been enhanced, I haven't listened to. Let's play it.
Are you following them? Yeah, okay, we don't need to do that.
Now, that certainly sounds much clearer than the first tape we listened to.
Right, it's extremely clear now.
Some are accusing George Zimmerman of using the racial slur coons in his 911 call. It was preceded by the F word.
Can we play it again? Can you repeat it so we can hear it a few times? The problem is this is very short. It's only about 1.6 seconds. So
roughly, yeah.
So once again, if we can repeat it a few times so we can hear it clearly.
Okay.
With this new, clearer audio, it's apparent the first word is a curse word. So we'll bleep it out for the rest of the story. It's the second word that's important to hear.
I don't want to say what it sounds like this time, what a lot of people are saying it sounds like, but let's play it a few times so the viewer can have an idea for themselves and
sure,
make their own conclusion. You can stop for a second. Now, it does sound less like that racial slur last time. I acknowledge the possibility it could have been that slur. From listening in this room, and this is state-of-the-art room, it doesn't sound like that slur anymore.
Right.
It sounds like, and we wanted to leave it up to the viewer, but it sounds like we're hearing the swear word at first and the word cold. And the reason some say that would be relevant is because it was unseasonably cold in Florida that night and raining. So that's what some supporters of Zimmerman are saying, that would make sense if he was saying the word cold. But that's what it sounds like to you.
It does to me. And I have not heard this.
First time you've heard
it. Yeah.
That. Can we play it a few more times?
Sure. Yeah.
So the key is, though, the wind, to get rid of the wind.
Correct. Wind and anything broadband noise.
Really. That's what we've done this time as compared to last time.
Correct.
And so you basically use this plugin to just get rid of the noise you don't want.
It reduces and cleans up a lot of that broadband noise, yeah.
But does it change the voice at all? Could it change a word?
It will not change a word, no.
Just makes it clearer.
Correct.
Brian, can you play that for us one more time?
Sure.
This is now the clearest audio we have heard of George Zimmerman's 911 call. But it's readily apparent there will still be controversy over what he really said. Gary Tuchman, CNN, Atlanta.
Okay. All right. Is YouTube and OnlyFans the new university? And one thing I wanted to look up while I took that little break was we're going to people who have gone to, let's say, I'm a lower the bar a little bit. Let's say 50. To 100 countries, because according to what I just looked up, fewer than 30,000 people, according to AI, fewer than 30,000 people have visited over 100 countries. All right, but I found about 15 of them. 15 of them just on that little interlude break we did on YouTube. So we will feature them. But fewer than 30,000 people, now this is out of 8 billion people on the planet, have visited over 100 countries. The average global traveler has visited 18. So I'm knocking at the door of that myself. I've been to 13. So I'm almost at the door of the average global traveler. I'm up to 18. I got five more to go. But fewer than 30,000 people have visited 100-plus countries. All right. Now, there is the Travelers Century Club, which is out of California, and it has 1,400 members. 1,400 members currently, and they have a Wikipedia page. Let's see. The membership, all right, the travelers, because people be really amazed at the places that you can go, that it really doesn't cost that much money. You will be, particularly if you, I mean, it like when I went to my first trip over to Europe, man, I knocked out Germany,
Austria and Italy and England on my first trip in 90 days. Most of that time was spent in, but it, once you hit certain places, you can cover a lot of territory. But in any event, all right, the Traveler's Century Club, and that, this is one of my goals now, man. All right, so, but you were, I mean, just as easy as you can book a trip from wherever you are, if you're like, if you're in the continental, wherever you're at in the world right now, listening to this live stream, it, you will be amazed at the place you can go, and it doesn't really cost that much money. Particularly if you do just a little bit of planning and learn some travel hacks. Right? Anyway, but let's see, membership eligibility in the Traveler's Century Club, and this club was founded in 1954. Now, this club has 21 regional chapters in the United States, Australia, Canada, China, France, Germany, Korea, Spain, and the United Kingdom. All right. Now, just out of those places, I've been to China, I've been to France, I've been to Germany, and I've been into the UK. So, let's see. Membership eligibility. Okay. All right. The TCC, Century Travel Club, maintains a list of countries and territories by which initial membership and milestones recognition is determined. The list includes not only sovereign states, but also certain territories, enclaves, and island groups. As of January 2022, the list contains 330 countries and territories. All right, and that's what I'm going by. All right, the United Nations just recognized 193 to 195, but they recognize 330. There's a lot of places on this planet. And here's one of the things I love about traveling. Whether you know it or not, come to this realization, you've got friends waiting to meet you in all these places. And some of these could be lifelong friends. But the trick is you need to book a ticket and you need to get there to meet these people. All right, the list contains 330 such countries and territories. The club literature notes that although some are not actually countries in their own right, they have been included because they have been removed from the parent country based on rules established in 1970. Okay, the club has no requirements as how long the traveler must have stayed in the country to qualify. Anyone who has visited 100 or more places on the list is eligible to join. All right. Okay. Let's see. All right. So, and they have a website and everything, and that's the Traveler's Century Club. So there are 300 and, that's what I'm going by, 330. Now, in order to be considered a global traveler, let's see. All right. How many countries does an average person visit? According to the visited traveler stats, the average global traveler has been to 18. So I'm 5 short of that, so I got to catch up. I got to get to 5 more countries. You know what, if I slip down to, well, how can I get this in? Because I've done Canada already. Okay, hold it. Let me see if I can get my 5 more in. Because one of the things I'm looking at is if you have a mobile profession, that will finance your way into traveling into some of these places. Central America. Now, I've been to Mexico twice, but Mexico, I consider that part of North America. So, and I've already done Mexico twice, so I'm not counting that.
So Central America, number of countries, countries in Central America. Okay. There's seven countries. If I knock out Central America, which is, I'm in Florida right now. Okay. That'll put me in a global traveler status officially. So, although I've been to two continents, I've been to two continents outside the United States, Europe, and I've done Asia. But, okay. There's seven Central American countries: Belize, Costa Rica, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, Nicaragua, and Panama. Those are the seven. I only need to go to five of those seven, and that'll put me up to 18. That'll get me the global traveler status. Man, you know, actually, to tell the truth, these are countries I can drive to. I'm going to start doing my research today. All right. Because you got Guatemala, you got Belize. I mean, all these. Oh, man, okay. So, anyway, but that will be, we'll include that, and of course, low rents. Places where you can go, not only in the United States, but globally, where you can get rents that are no higher than $2,000 for the entire year. Okay, for the entire year. So let's say, you know, even at $2,000, $2,000 divided by 12, that's $166 a month rent. So we're going to look at what places that you can go to where you're going to pay $2,000 or less for the entire year. All right, so that's what we'll have, those five segments every day. So by the end of the year, you might have some places on your travel list that you might want to visit, and it wouldn't cost you that much to travel to those places. All right. As well as incomes, you know, six-figure incomes that, and actually, you know what, everybody's done something where you can earn a six-figure income a month. But we'll break that down and we'll illustrate that through these people that we're going to bring on starting tomorrow. So on that note, what time is it? It's 12 after 12. It's lunchtime. Everyone have a good rest of the day. See you guys tomorrow.